Revelation Revealed, Part 2, Section 16, Revelation chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Verse 19 is one of those verses that are very important to how you view the rest of the book of Revelation. Therefore, how you really do understand verse 19 will determine how you understand the rest of the book. Now, I need to say a couple things before I read the verse. I go into great exegetical detail in my written commentary concerning the Greek words and the verb tenses of this verse, which I will not go into in this audio version. So I do suggest you read my written commentary on Revelation 1:19. Secondly, the book of Revelation has more other manuscript difficulties than any other book in the Bible. By that I mean there are discrepancies from one manuscript to another, and there are a number of verses that are really difficult to translate because of these discrepancies. This is one of those verses. So there are a number of ways to view this verse. I will basically state the prophetic future's main view, and my personal view is slightly off base from the future's main view. The verse reads, "Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later." Let's look at the word write. In Greek, the word write basically means, John, you sit down and write it right away. This is not a long-term project. Once you start, you will finish. Beyond the word write, there are basically three phrases that John is supposed to write about: what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. Now, many, if not most, prophetic futures take those three phrases to mean this. John was supposed to write what he saw in the vision, and he was supposed to write what is now, and they take the words "what is now" to mean chapters 2 and 3, the letters to the churches or to the community of Christ in seven cities, and then what will take place in the future is what we see in chapter 4 and on. Now, the first phrase, write what you have seen. What did John see? He saw the vision. Let me suggest this, that John saw the whole vision first, and then he wrote it down. He was not writing as he saw the vision. Chapter 1, verse 2 tells us that he testifies to that which he saw being past tense. So John, right from the very second verse of his vision, his book, says he's writing what he saw. So in verse 19 here, he is told to write what he saw. Now, the second phrase, which now is, this is the debatable phrase, because it can be translated as write what this signifies or write what this means. In other words, John, you are to write what you have seen, meaning the vision, and you are to write what this vision means. It doesn't necessarily have to be interpreted as what is now. So you have two ways to looking at this. John was supposed to write what is now, and to me that really doesn't fit, because what is now, the whole vision is about the future. So I tend to take the stand that how this verse should be translated is write what you have seen, what it means or signifies, and what will take place in the future at a later date. Now, if you recall what I said about verse 10 of chapter 1, this also sheds some light, at least from my viewpoint. According to verse 10, in my understanding, John was translated, transformed, transported, whatever word you want to use, into the future day of the Lord, not Sunday or Sabbath, but the day of the Lord, the end of this age, where the events of Revelation would be unfolded. So if John is actually in the future day of the Lord, and Jesus says, write what you have seen and what is now, if you want to translate it, what is now, then what is now is really in the future, because John heard these words not in his day, not in the day in which he existed, but in the day in the future which he was transported to. Just picture it. John, in this vision, is no longer in his present day and age. He is in a future day and age. And Jesus says, write what you're seeing and what now is, meaning what is taking place now in the future as you stand and watch it unfold. Just another way to view this verse. Verse 20 reads, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So we have two things here. We have stars and churches. Stars throughout the Old Testament are associated with angels, or vice versa, really. I should say, to be specific, angels are associated with stars. Now, these seven angels are, according to the English text here, angels of these seven churches or seven communities of Christ, which we will see in the next two chapters. Now, we have stars and we have lampstands. They're both symbols, but Jesus explains the symbols, what they mean, which is the case many times in the book of Revelation. Granted, there are symbols that are not explained. These two are. The lampstand here is not exactly like the lampstand we would be familiar with. It's not a candle with a wick. It's more like a stand with a bowl of oil.